Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 and 38. And let's study together some of the words of Jesus when he was working in his ministry. And really, let's start in verse 35 of Matthew chapter 9 and read through verse 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus was involved in his ministry, and he was working here among the people. He is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing the sick that are brought to him. And the text says that he had compassion on them. And the disciples then are studying the situation and learning from Jesus. And he sees these multitudes scattered as a sheep that has no shepherd. And he says to the disciples these words, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This morning I would like to look at this last verse, verse 38, and to think about it in reference to the job of doing personal evangelism. Personal evangelism is, of course, our taking the gospel to others and sharing the message of Jesus with them. And Jesus recognized the need of so many to hear the gospel of the kingdom so that they could come to God and that they could be saved from their sins. There are four points that we see in this simple statement that Jesus makes here in verse 38. There is, first of all, prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Second, there is opportunities to send out. Third, there is a work, laborers. And then finally, there is teaching into his harvest. Laborers into his harvest. So let's look at this verse this morning as we think about doing personal evangelism in our lives. And let's think about how we can apply this to our lives. First of all, evangelism is prayer. When we think about evangelism and doing personal evangelism, I hope that we think about prayer. Because Jesus thought about prayer when he thought about doing personal evangelism. He says, "Pray to the Lord," or "pray ye the Lord of the harvests." Of course, he is talking about praying to God the Father. He's talking about the one who is able to give the increase. And that is, of course, God. Do we want to evangelize? Then let's be a people who are involved in prayer. You know, prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do in personal evangelism to help others come to Christ. And it's so important that we pray for the people that we are working with and that we are seeking to evangelize. It's so important that we lift their names up to the Father and let Him know that we care about them and that we want them to hear His Word, to be receptive to it, and to respond to it obediently. We need to pray for those individuals, but we need to pray for everyone who is around us, because everyone is a potential candidate for the gospel message. In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, Jesus says this, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now Jesus has promised that if we ask, seek, and knock, that he will give. Do we take him at his word? Do we believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do? We need to pray. We need to ask. We need to pray for opportunities and wisdom to recognize such. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." And so prayer is important in opening doors of opportunity so that we can have opportunity to speak to others about the gospel. Prayer is also important in having obstacles removed in reference to personal evangelism. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." Notice what he says, that the word of the Lord may have free course. What does that mean? A free course is one that has no hindrances, that one that has no obstacles. That's what we want to pray for. And then pray for courage, because it takes courage to approach our friends and our neighbors and talk to them about Christ. Not everyone is going to receive the message gladly. Not everyone is going to be thankful. There are some who are going to tell us to go away and to mind our own business. And that's their choice. But nevertheless, it's still our responsibility to go out and to reach out. And so let's pray. Pray ye the Lord of harvests. That's what we want to do. Lift up those names in prayer, and God will work mightily. But then secondly, Jesus says, pray the Lord of harvest to send forth. You see, God is the one who gives the increase. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 9. And because God gives the increase, He is the one who provides the opportunities for us. And so we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth. That is, He would give those opportunities. Opportunities, we talk about opportunities like they're in the future sometimes. But the fact of the matter is that the opportunities are around us right now. And that's the point that Jesus was making to His disciples there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. He says, here's the harvest coming in right now. Let's work in it. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, He says this, "Don't say there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The harvest isn't 4 months away. The harvest isn't even tomorrow. The harvest is right now. Today, this very hour. That's the attitude that we need to have about doing personal evangelism. You see, it's not something that I do in the future. It's not something that I plan to do. It's who I am. It's what I am. It's about now. It's about being what God says He wants us to be, whether in word or in deed. And there are different ways that opportunities come about, but let's not neglect any of those opportunities. Good works, for example, spawn opportunities for evangelism. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 we read, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially toward those of the household of faith." Do you want to do personal evangelism? Go out and do some good works. Let's not neglect the opportunities that come our way. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James warns us of the sin of omission. There are sins that we commit. We're very familiar with those. A lot of the do nots in the Bible tell us about those sins of commission. The ones that you do that you shouldn't have done. But then there's also sins that we omit. Things that we ought to do that we didn't do. In James chapter 4 verse 17 he says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, we've got to keep our eyes open. We've got to keep alert. We've got to stay focused upon the possibility that there is an opportunity to do personal evangelism in my life right now. And that can only be done if we're willing to let God work within our lives. Let's not neglect to do something we know we need to do, whatever that might be. Opportunity is around us, and let's be confident in this. When Jesus opens the door of opportunity for us, No one else can shut that door. No man is going to close that door, but we can fail to go through it. And that's something we always need to consider. Consider what Jesus says in Revelation 3 and verse 8. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Opportunities abound if we will recognize that opportunity and act upon it. Pray ye the Lord of harvest to send forth, that is, to give us opportunity. But then Jesus talks about who it is that's going to be sent forth and the character of that person that he wants to be involved in personal evangelism. And he calls them laborers. Laborers. People who work. People who are willing to go out. People who are willing to do. Think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 9. We alluded to this earlier, but listen to the whole passage. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own laborer. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. What does that mean? It means that God wants us to work and that He's working with us to do that work. That we're not in this work alone, this business of going out and teaching others the gospel, this business of talking to others about Jesus, this business of involving ourselves in personal evangelism. We're not doing it by ourselves. In fact, we're doing the less of the work that needs to be done, and God is doing the greater part. I planted, Paul said. Apollos watered. What is the planting? Just go out, dig a hole, and put a seed in the ground. You planted. And Paul says, I didn't even do the watering. Somebody else did that. I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. Now that is doing something. It's not nothing completely. It's not sitting back and being lazy. It's not being slothful. No, it is doing something. It's going out. But God does the greatest share of the labor that's involved. But we are laborers together with God. We do something. And we have to be involved in doing what we do. God's work, when we do God's work, we do good works. And good works glorify the Father. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And when we do these good works, they lead to fruitfulness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs that they may not be unfruitful. And so doing the good works and meeting the urgent needs brings about fruitfulness. But there are no quick and easy ways to raise potatoes. I bet you weren't expecting that. There are no quick and easy ways to... Anybody ever raise potatoes? You can go ahead and raise your hand on this one. That shouldn't be an embarrassing question, right? To raise potatoes. Yeah, there's a few people who raise potatoes out there. I remember my mother was born in Graham, Texas. Anybody know where Graham, Texas is? You ever heard of Graham, Texas before? It's way out in West Texas. Well, not way out in West Texas, but between Fort Worth and Abilene, thereabouts, south of Wichita Falls. And that is some of the most fertile land, I think, that's in the state of Texas for potatoes. I don't know why, potatoes. But I remember going out there to one of my uncle's farms. And he just had acre after acre of potatoes planted out there. And we went out and dug potatoes. You know, it wasn't easy to do that. Because you had to go out there with a shovel or pitchfork or something. And you got to put that pitchfork in the ground. And you've got to turn over the ground and pull up the potatoes because the potatoes are buried. Nowadays, I know they take a tractor and plow them, you know, and they plow them up. But can you imagine having to dig up acres of potatoes by hand? People used to do that. and how much work that would be. There are no quick and easy ways to raise potatoes. How do you do it? You've just got to get your hands dirty and do the work, right? You know, personal evangelism is a lot like that. There's no quick and easy way to do it. You see, sometimes when it comes to personal evangelism, we want to look for the fads, we want to look for the gimmicks, we want to look for the ploys. We want to get in there and get it done quick and get on to the next person or something like that. It doesn't work like that. Building relationships doesn't work like that. Who wants a quick and easy relationship with someone? What kind of relationship is that? It's really no relationship at all. That's not the kind of relationship I want. And I don't think that's the kind of relationship you want either. Well, what makes us think then that we can go out there and do personal evangelism just by throwing a few tracks that way, you know? No, we've got to get out there and work and build those relationships. Get to know people. Spend time with them. And divest of self and invest in others. That's what it takes to do personal evangelism. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Work. Pray ye the Lord of harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. Personal evangelism is teaching. It is impossible to do evangelism without teaching. I've heard people who think that they can sneak people into the church, you know, just kind of under the radar, so to speak, without teaching, without there being any kind of instruction. That can't happen according to the Word of God. You can't sneak somebody into church. You can sneak somebody into a movie theater. I've never done that before, but I've heard of people who've done that. But you can't sneak somebody into church. And why is that? Because it takes teaching. You see, the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ, it isn't a social club. Now, we enjoy fellowship with Christ, and that's good. And we enjoy that fellowship. And we're about to go back here into what we call our fellowship room and have a great potluck lunch together. And I'm about just as excited about that as you are. And it's going to be a fine time. But in order to make disciples, there has to be teaching. There has to be instruction. That's how people become children of God. That's how they become disciples of Christ. That's how they become members of the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, we read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them," listen, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, I want you to notice something here. Do we have any English teachers out here? Anybody who is an English teacher or has taught English in the past? Okay, we have at least one. So if you doubt me on this, you can check with the English teacher, okay? There are two participles in these verses. Two participles. And I'm going to point them out to you. There is, first of all, the word baptizing. There is, second, the word teaching. You know that they're participles because they have the ing ending on the end of them. Participles are called, sometimes they're called verbals, because they modify or they act on the verb in the sentence. Now, the verb in the sentence is actually two verbs. Go and teach, or go and make disciples. Some translations say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Some translations say, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. That's the one that Jesus is talking about. How do you do that? How do you make disciples? By the action that's found in the participles. What is that action? Baptizing and teaching. Those two things go together. You can't baptize without teaching, and you can't teach somebody without teaching. Telling them about baptism. Both of those things are important. It takes both of those things in order for a person to become a disciple. Jesus said, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the teaching or the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. John 7, verse 17. And Jesus said in John 8, verses 31 and 32, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Teaching is something that we must do if we're going to be involved in personal evangelism. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Personal evangelism is prayer. Personal evangelism is opportunity. Personal evangelism is work. And personal evangelism is teaching. Let's resolve to be involved in doing this, each and every one of us, so that we can fulfill the Lord's great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Do you need to become a Christian this morning by hearing the message of the gospel, by being taught by Jesus? They shall all be taught of God, the Bible says. This morning you can be taught, you can learn, and you can come to Christ and become a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ, through hearing His Word and believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Him, and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You can become a member of the Lord's Church this morning. Are you Christian but need the prayers of the Church for whatever reason? Maybe it's to be involved in more personal evangelism. Maybe it's for some sin in your life, whether of commission or omission, that you need help in this morning. We're here to help. We're here to provide support, counseling, whatever your need may be. You have an opportunity now to come forward. Make your thoughts known while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.